The Drive Home belongs to the great one. Mark Levin, today at 3 on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Okay, the figure that we've all been waiting for is out, and it's not very encouraging. The jobs report for January. Just 113,000 jobs added. Coming on top of December's numbers, again, the economy continues to be weak. Want to check in with Grover Norquist from Americans for Tax Reform and, of course, the author of one of my favorite books on politics, Leave Us Alone, which, again, is available at fine bookstores and online everywhere, Amazon.com. Grover, how are you this morning?
I'm doing very well. Things are, I'm doing fine. See, I have a job, and the problem is not everybody does, and those lousy employment numbers that you were talking about a moment ago, here's the bad news. It gets worse. And the Congressional Budget Office, which is the nonpartisan office that crunches numbers that Obama and the Democrats always point to as the sole arbiter of reality.
Right.
Just came out and said that 2.5 million jobs will disappear by 2024 because of Obamacare. The way they've targeted those subsidies, that money goes to people. But if you have a job, you don't get the subsidies. If you earn too much money or work too many hours, you don't get the subsidy. And so they're calculating that full-time equivalents, 2.5 million people, 2.5 million jobs will cease to be filled by 2024. That's 50,000 jobs in Washington State, 50,000 jobs in Washington State because of Obamacare. And the way they've set up the incentives, if you don't work, you get subsidies. If you work too much, too many hours, you don't get subsidies. And so their calculation originally was that 800,000 people, 800,000 jobs would go unfilled. Now it's 2.5 million. Now maybe it's 5 million people only working half time, but it's 2.5 million full-time equivalents. That's coming. And that's baked in the cake unless Obamacare is repealed or radically reformed.
Okay, but as you said, the real news is even worse because Douglas Elmendorf, the head of the Congressional Budget Office, which is seen as essentially an umpire, a referee, when it comes to the numbers, he said that going forward, if you were to look at, and we're getting a little static from your phone line there.
Okay.
He said, yeah, I think it's background noise. He said that going forward, the major drag on economic growth will be the Affordable Care Act. And that's pretty stunning stuff since it was numbers from the Congressional Budget Office that the Democrats in Congress and the president actually, you know, first cited as the reason why Obamacare would pencil out.
Right, and that it was deficit neutral because it had all these tax increases coming early and later. And if you look during a certain window, it wasn't, it didn't increase the deficit, but it did increase taxes by about $1 trillion and increase spending as well. So it wasn't size of government neutral. It was briefly deficit neutral.
So moving forward, let's go from policy to politics for a moment. 2014, pivotal election. At one point, after 2012, when Barack Obama was reelected, you had Democrats saying, hey, we just might be able to take the House. Now it looks like not only will the Democrats not get the House, and we see prominent veteran Democrats now announcing their retirement, which is another sign of that, Republicans might expand their numbers in the House, and they might take the Senate. Could this be like 1994? Could this be not just a Republican-leaning year, but an earthquake?
Well, all the signs move in that direction. And we don't get to sit in and watch the Democrats look at their polling data, their personal polling data. We don't get to sit in and look at the billionaires, say, here's how much money we're going to put in or not going to put in for the Democratic Party and the labor unions, talking about what they're capable of doing. What we can do is look at the faces of those people when they come out of the room. And we're seeing Democrats who would be committee chairmen if the Democrats got the House back, retiring. Waxman of California. There are a whole series of people who, if they believed that there was any chance at all of recapturing the House, they'd stay. They'd, you know, stick around for 2 years. What's it cost you, right? Maybe you get to be a chairman. It's really cool to be a chairman. It's not any fun at all. It's not any fun at all to be in the minority. And that's the problem that we have there. Sorry, I'm at an airport.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So the good news is they're telling us, that they don't think they can take the House back. When we look at how districting looks, it looks very difficult for them to take the House as well. So all of those things suggest that the Republicans hold the House and, in fact, strengthen, because the Democrats in Republican districts are the ones actually leaving also. So two groups are leaving, people who would become chairman if they came back and people who are in Republican districts. And that's really moved the needle to say Republicans hold the House and strengthen. The second part of that is the Senate, where seven Democrats are in districts, states, running for election where Obama lost badly, and where it is more likely than not that the Republican will win. Something would have to go wrong for the Republican not to win in Alaska and Louisiana, Nebraska, South Dakota, Montana, West Virginia, North Carolina. And we're now getting another three or four states that you wouldn't have thought normally Republicans would win, but we're polling ahead in Michigan. We're polling even in states like Colorado and Iowa, polling ahead and even in New Hampshire. So if you're winning one of those, it becomes almost certain that the Republicans will take the Senate back. Headlines in the Washington, D.C. papers are the Democrats have given up on the House, so they're going to try and put all the money into saving the Senate. Once somebody starts to do triage, it really tells you that they're in trouble. You know, they're going, who can we save? That's not cheerful. It depresses people. More competent guys won't run who might have run otherwise.
Let's bring it all closer to home here in Washington State, Grover. We don't have any Senate races up for re-election, but we do have 10 House seats. And one of those House seats, the first district, has Susan Del Bene, who was in a district that Barack Obama won by 54%, but now his approval rating is 40%, his disapproval rating is 51%, and only 36% believe that Susan Del Bene deserves re-election.
That is a seat, a congressional seat, that Republicans believe is extremely vulnerable. Democrats also worry about it because she's out of line with the district. She's way too left of center for the district. She hasn't really represented the district. She should have just been a vote for Obama. And that's not what that district is. There are some districts that if you just do everything Obama tells you to do, they're pleased as punch. That district in Washington State is not one of them. And there's a candidate that you probably know about more than I do that I have heard only extremely strong things about for the Republicans.
Yes, his name is Pedro Celis. Pedro Celis is a former senior engineer at Microsoft and very successful and very popular, a wonderful guy. And he is on the verge of stepping into this race, and it's got a lot of people excited. Yikes. I hear your flight in the background. You're very nice to try and arrange a conversation in between flights here. Where are you going to from?
I'm in Atlanta coming down from D.C. I do encourage everybody in the good Washington to come visit us in the bad Washington, because you can come visit your money. We have stacks of it, and we swim around in it like Scrooge McDuck and laugh at all the peasants who we loot.
Well,
but I've left my swimming pool full of taxpayer money to come down to Florida, so I'm flying through Atlanta.
All right. Well, we'd love to have you here in Washington sometime. This week would have been a great time. You could have been at the Super Bowl parade with all of us.
I'll be out on the 19th and the 21st of March.
March. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll write that down. We'd love to have you in studio. That's wonderful.
That would be great.
Thank you, Grover. Grover Norquist joining us from Americans for Tax Reform, ATR.org. Again, that's ATR.org. You're listening to the John Carlson Show. Again, the big news story just breaking this morning, and it's more depressing economic news. On the jobs front, only 113,000 jobs added. Another disappointment. Following the December numbers that were even lower than that. It is coming up on 6:15, Talk Radio 570 KVI.